We have some great programs lined up for you during Holy Week, and here's an easy way to invite your fellow parishioners to listen. It's a special church bulletin insert for Issues Etc. Holy Week programming. Just go to the support page at issuesetc.org, download, print, and make copies of the Holy Week bulletin insert. The bulletin insert can be used for the weekend of Palm Sunday, April 1st. issuesetc.org and click support.
He was one of the most brilliant CIA operatives we ever had, until he went rogue. He's responsible for the deaths of multiple agents. This guy's just not going to walk into an American consulate without good reason.
So what's new in Cape Town?
I heard a slot open up.
One slot, 37 applicants. Every one of them with more field experience than you.
How am I supposed to get more experience? I'm staring at four walls all day.
This is Weston.
We have a last-minute reservation.
Oh, my God. That's Tobin Frost.
Kill all the surveillance cameras in this room.
Is this legal?
Go, 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 go!
Remember rule number one, you're responsible for your house guest. I'm your house guest.
Bit of the trailer from a movie called Safe House starring Denzel Washington. It's my kind of movie. I like the action. I like, to be honest with you, kind of like the violence. I like the intrigue and the spy back and forth and who's good and who's evil. We'll be talking a little bit about that movie, doing a little movie review with Pastor Jonathan Fisk, along with a review of the movie that everybody's talking about, and apparently everybody's going to see, The Hunger Games, based on that trilogy of novels, at least the first of that trilogy of novels. This is Issues Etc. live this Wednesday afternoon. It's March the 28th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. Pastor Jonathan Fisk will be our guest for the first half hour of the program. He's host of the video blog called Worldview Everlasting. A little bit later, we're going to talk about the meaning of church music, apart from the words, not just the text, but also the music itself. Is it neutral? Is music entirely neutral, especially when it comes to use in the church and use in the church's worship? We'll see what Burnell Eckert thinks of that and how he answers that question a little bit later in this first hour. In the second hour of the program, we're going to spend some time talking church and state with Dr. Cameron McKenzie of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Now, if you'd like to join us for the next 2 hours, feel free to do so. You can give us a call with a question or a comment all through these 2 hours, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. You can send us an email right here in the studio. We'll get those emails in real time. Talkback at issuesetc.org. Talkback at issuesetc.org. You can send us a tweet at issuesetc. Joining us to talk about the movies Safe House and the blockbuster The Hunger Games, Pastor Jonathan Fisk. He's pastor at Bethany Lutheran Church in Naperville, Illinois, and host of the video blog Worldview Everlasting. Jonathan, welcome back.
Hey, it's good to be on.
From the trailer, I have not seen it. Safe House looks like the kind of movie I just absolutely love. It has intrigue, it has good, it has evil. There's a question as to who is which. What would you say to someone who says, look, a pastor reviewing a game where a guy is basically being kept safe and he's just a bloodthirsty and heartless killer?
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the whole play within the movie. It wrestles with the question of what is truth. Is this guy actually a heartless, bloodthirsty killer, or is he actually fighting against the heartless, bloodthirsty killers and trying to expose them? There's this huge sort of who watches the watchers theme that goes on in it. And part of the beauty of the movie, one of the reasons I enjoyed it a lot, was in the end, the main character is forced to decide, you know, who's he going to trust. Is he going to believe that there is such a thing as the right thing to do? Or is he going to give in and kind of just become another kind of half-truth believer that does what he needs to do to survive? It's one of the more, as you said, good versus evil films I've seen in recent memory.
Why is it that these good versus evil resonate with us so much? Especially, I think, with Christians, but with people in general.
Well, first, because it's true, right? I mean, as Christians especially, we know and believe that there is such a thing as good and evil, that God has created the world good, that we've ruined it, that Christ has redeemed it. But then living in a culture which is sort of intentionally forgetting this, with postmodern theory and the last 100 years or so of liberalism, if you want to call it that, attacking the idea that there is such a thing as a pure good, saying instead that the good is relative or contextualized, I think not only Christians but just people in general are hungry for something a little more foundational, something they can stand on. It's hard to live your life believing that everything is contextualized and you can't know what's what or, you know, does anything really exist? Should I stop at the red light or is it just a figment of my imagination? You can't live that way. So we live in worlds that are a little more black and white than our mental culture is telling us they are. And so when we see a movie where we see a character choosing truth or goodness and to chase after that and believe in it, we get excited about it. And we want heroes. And the anti-hero has kind of dominated much of at least Hollywood of the last 30 years or so. And one of the things I really like about movies in the last few years is a return to the hero. And you see this with the comic book films, of course, but again, Safe House very much is a character wrestling with that. Is it possible to be a hero in a world in which everyone's evil? And he finally, I don't want to give it away.
what do you mean, before we get a little bit of the plot, what do you mean by anti-hero?
The anti-hero is the protagonist, the person who moves the story forward, who is not necessarily good. He certainly is flawed, if not outright bad, and yet we're supposed to cheer for this person or feel connected to this person because of our own badness or lack of perfection. And the anti-hero really was a dominant theme in Hollywood, at least, for the last 30 years, usually connected with the generation of the baby boomers. It's not to say that every baby boomer movie or movie made by someone from the baby boom forced anti-hero on us, but it just was kind of like the more dominant edge or theme, these kind of dark, tragic, hopeless films. And the one that jumps up in my mind is, you know, Brokeback Mountain was kind of the epitome of this kind of a movie. You know, it's not that they're really bad per se, but there's nothing really good. There's sort of a hopelessness or a morass, and we are to at best connect with the protagonist through our pain and suffering and hopelessness, and at worst be offended and just scarred by viewing this creature or character who has no hope. The hero, on the other hand, it lifts up an ideal which really can never be reached in the sinful world. That's kind of what's beautiful about it, is it's a recognition that we need to be saved, and it creates a very different kind of story.
Now, let's talk a little bit about Safe House in terms of its story, and I understand that you're not want to give too much of the plot away. What can you tell us about the storyline and its themes?
Well, if you like the Bourne movies, then you're going to like Safe House. The reviews I saw on Rotten Tomatoes before I went to see it kind of were complaining that it was a bit of a recycled film. Yes, it was. I mean, it was a cardboard plot. There's the good guy who doesn't really know what's going on, and the big bad institutionalized powers are kind of keeping him in the dark, and he gets caught up in a mess he can't understand. He's trying to figure it out, and he has to finally choose again. You know, who is he going to trust? This guy who everyone is saying is a murderer, but everyone's trying to kill, or his bosses, who are gradually making him question their own honesty. So it's, again, it is a cardboard plot line, but that's part of what made it great. The acting's phenomenal. I mean, Denzel Washington is just hard to beat, no matter what he's in. He can take a horrible movie and make it good. I forget the name of the protagonist character, but he also did a fine job, and left you with a spy film that in the end gives you a little bit of hope for the future. You know, it's flat at the end a little bit. The ending, after the main climax, it kind of resolves a little fast. But if you're not looking for epic filmmaking and you're looking to be entertained by something which has virtue in it, wrestles with a couple of questions about whether or not a postmodern world is really real or if you can actually decide to do the right thing, it's a great flick.
We're talking with Pastor Jonathan Fisk on this Wednesday afternoon, March the 28th. Here on Issues, Etc., about the movie Safe House and The Hunger Games. So the appeal is beyond something like watching the good guy kill the bad guy. How do you deal with the issue of violence then?
Yeah, that's a great question, and I don't know that I know. Part of me wishes that we could live in an entertainment world where there was no real violence, but then at the same time there would be no conflict as a result of that, and then there's nothing really very entertaining. At what level of violence is acceptable? When as a kid I watched the Transformer robots throw each other into walls and shoot laser beams that don't really ever do anything to anybody, is that acceptable or not? And I think to some extent that may be a question people have to answer in their own minds. I didn't find the violence in Safe House to be particularly offensive or gory. Certainly a movie like, I think, a Braveheart way back in the day, or Patriot Games, both Mel Gibson flicks, had a lot more gore in them. Even the Bourne movies probably were a little more bloody than Safe House. A lot of shooting, though, and weapons. It's the world we live in. The question, do we hide from it? Do we observe it and critique it? I remember, speaking of things Christians get mad at other Christians for watching, the Simpsons episode in which Marge Simpson writes to the company that makes Itchy and Scratchy, the really violent kids' TV show, and gets them to stop having violence in the TV show, and has the next show they make is this cat and this mouse sitting on a porch rocking in rocking chairs, and next thing you know, all the kids have turned off the TVs and gone outside to play, which is kind of a nice thing, too, in its own right. But there's something to be said about the fact that you can't have plot, you can't have story of hero defeating evil without having the hero somehow fight that evil, and that will eventually turn to violence. Another interesting, the first time I ever read C.S. Lewis's Perelandra, which is the second of his sci-fi space trilogy, kind of little known, but really cool books, I was really upset because the main character finally defeats the enemy. Oh, looks like we're going to have to stop for a break. We'll do this on the other side.
Let's take a break. When we come back, Pastor Jonathan Fisk is our guest. We're talking about the movie's Safe House, a little issue of violence in the movies, in our entertainment. And when we come back, we'll talk about The Hunger Games.
What makes Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church in Freeburg, Illinois so special? Our new members talk about the family atmosphere, the welcoming people, and the outstanding music. But most importantly, you'll be confronted with your sin and comforted with the assurance that Jesus has removed that sin so that you can live each day as His baptized and forgiven child. Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church is at 612 North State Street in Freeburg, Illinois. Sunday worship is at 9 a.m., Sunday school and Bible classes at 10:20 a.m. Call 618-539-5664.
Concordia Publishing House has a great new resource to help you teach your children and grandchildren classical Christian hymns. It's called My First Hymnal. You can find out more about it at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase My First Hymnal by calling CPH 1-800-325-3040. Teach your children and grandchildren hymns like A Mighty Fortress, Abide With Me, Children of the Heavenly Father, and more with My First Hymnal, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month.
Where Christianity meets culture, you're listening to Issues Etc.
We have some great programs lined up for you during Holy Week, and here's an easy way to invite your fellow parishioners to listen. It's a special church bulletin insert for Issues Etc. Holy Week programming. Just go to the support page at issuesetc.org, download, print, and make copies of the Holy Week bulletin insert. The bulletin insert can be used for the weekend of Palm Sunday, April 1st. Issuesetc.org and click Support.
This is a message for members of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Thrivent Financial has a new charitable grant program called Thrivent Choice. Thrivent Choice allows you to designate charitable outreach funds to Lutheran Public Radio. For more information, look for the Thrivent logo under the Donate page of our website, issuesetc.org. Or ask your Thrivent representative about Thrivent Choice. Help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. with Thrivent Choice.
Well, Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. It's Wednesday afternoon. We're doing a little movie review with Pastor Jonathan Fisk, host of the video blog Worldview Everlasting, talking about Safe House and violence in our entertainment. And in just a minute, we'll talk about The Hunger Games, the blockbuster of last weekend, and the book-selling sensation of years gone by. Jonathan, you were saying something about your reading in C.S. Lewis with respect to violence in our world and in our entertainment.
Yeah, in the second book of his space trilogy called Perelandra, the first time I read it, I was really offended because the main character, for most of the book, tries to argue a demon out of being evil, or at least convince someone else who's listening to the demon not to listen to the demon anymore. And finally, the character realizes that he has no choice. The only way to deal with this demon that is evil is to kill it. And then he does. He smashes its head with his heel. His heel gets bitten in the meantime and scarred, and yet the head of the demon is crushed. The character's name is Ransom, so there's this whole Christology thing going on. I was really offended because I was pretty much a young evangelical pacifist. I was like, you know, violence, it's wrong. And the more I've come to think about it, though, the more I've realized, well, this is really God's answer for evil eventually, is to kill it. And it's a very violent thing. He kills it first and foremost in his son on the cross, and it's a horribly graphic reality. On top of this, there's a war in heaven that God is fighting, and the devil and all his angels are going to be cast into a pit of fire. Yahweh, the Lord, is the Lord of hosts, the Lord of armies. The difference is they're good armies, right? Now, human violence, gratuitous violence for no good reason or for self-serving choices, this, of course, is sinful. But can soldiers be saved? Yes. They can in fact, do violence in the office which God has given them, which is that of protector. So when a movie does that and keeps the violence at least aiming for that, that's a great thing, I think. And this is what Safe House does. The main character sees this violence all around him and eventually has to make decisions about whether he's going to do his job and fulfill the office he's been given or make his own decisions in kind of, again, the postmodern lack of good or evil world. And I find that highly engaging.
Mike is listening in Kansas City. Mike, thanks for waiting on the line.
Yeah, thank you, Pastor Wilk. And I wish people listening would consider supporting Issues, et cetera. It's a great resource. And, gentlemen, thanks for the topic. And Pastor Fisk, I have a question for you concerning Denzel Washington and concerning the violence. Concerning the violence that is in a lot of these type of films. You know, the Old Testament, in order to, you know, really expose sin for the seriousness of it, it's almost impossible to do that without the grittiness of violence. And Denzel Washington seems to play in a lot of movies, particularly the one I liked was The Book of Eli. And I don't recommend these kind of movies for everyone because, like you were talking about, they are so violent. However, like you said, it really exposes the grittiness of sin and the seriousness of our sin. And then there is also the anti-hero who struggles with his sin. And anyway, my question is, do you know anything about Denzel Washington and his particular, quote-unquote, religious views, if you will?
Mike, thank you very much, and thanks for listening in Kansas City. I was also thinking about a little more obscure one of his films, American Gangster, where he's definitely the anti-hero, and it's pretty violent as well.
Yeah, my understanding is that Denzel Washington is Pentecostal. He's an Assemblies of God. I don't know much more about it than that. I mean, that would mean that there's a good chance he's a Christian. I don't think he's a one that's Pentecostal. So he does believe in good and evil, and maybe that has influenced his choices in his career. He does, whether his movies are violent or not, he does tend to star in films that wrestle with good versus evil. I mean, like, Remember the Titans is about hope and truth and binding together, right? It's fair enough. His worldview is probably affecting the choices that he's making for film. Book of Eli was a fascinating movie. I really wish it had done more. And I had heard that it had been intended to be a little more Christian-aimed, but then at the end, the director or the producer, I forget which one, had cut a lot of the scenes that would have been a little more explicitly Christian in terms of this book that he's carrying across the wastes of a post-apocalyptic world. For sure. And either way, the violence, again, you're right, it is a part of the reality of sin. And so any film that is going to really wrestle with our original sin as it is in real life, its true evil, is going to show us things that ought not to be. The question is, are we entertained by them for the sake of their own wickedness, or are we entertained by the war for goodness and cheering that goodness on? And this is where the story of the hero becomes, in my mind, ultimately the one that is most entertaining.
Well, speaking of a post-apocalyptic world, that's what a lot of people are watching this weekend and in the weeks to come with the blockbuster The Hunger Games. You saw it. What was your impression of this story that is originally aimed at young kids? What was your impression of the movie?
Yeah, well, as one who has not read the book and does kind of hope to eventually, I was entertained, and I was really intrigued by it, and yet I was a little bit bored. I can't decide, until I read the book, I won't know. I can't decide if it's the story itself or not. It had so much going for it. There was a lot of potential for a very exciting movie, and yet it just kind of, it dragged a little at the start, and then by the end, I just felt, it felt a little flat. The one character, the main character, has developed fairly well. You get to care about her quite a bit. But there's all these other really interesting characters that you really, they're just screen presences at best, almost like they're all cameos. And you wanted more from that. And you wanted more of an engaging kind of fight for survival. In the end, it's almost like she hides the whole time and then just suddenly wins at the end. And that's not quite exactly what happens, but it was always on the edge of being a really fulfilling movie, and from my point of view, never quite got there. And that may have something to do with the fact that I don't love the book already. Someone who loves the book probably is going to like it, at least for the fact that it stays with the book's plot. My understanding is it doesn't change much, which usually is what ruins a good book movie.
It begins with, at the very least, a note of sacrifice. Is that correct?
Sort of. Yeah, again, it's post-apocalyptic world where the big bad government is keeping people down, and one of the ways they do this is they require a tribute to be paid every year from each district of the country of a young person who will wage war in these games. And again, they call it tributes, they call it the reaping, and it's sort of a sacrificial hope thing. You never really quite understand why the poorer people are willing to put up with it. It's clear they all hate it and don't like it, and yet they're being broadcast this propaganda that tells them that this is their reason for existence and what is keeping the peace. And it is a kind of a class conflict in the making. Again, one of the reasons the book has an engaging, tantalizing idea is this class conflict, this desire for overthrowing the oppressor. And yet that's also kind of what was disappointing, is it never quite got there. There isn't, it's not really a ransom. It's not really a sacrifice in a Christian sense. Although there is the fact that the main character does become the first volunteer from her district ever, because the person who is called to go up is someone she doesn't want to see die. I won't give any more away than that.
What other themes did you find interesting in the film The Hunger Games?
There is, again, a desire for truth, a desire to not give to the evil of the world around them. And the main character doesn't want to participate in the game. Again, she hides. She doesn't want to kill anybody. She is abhorred by the games and the fight, and she wants to overcome that somehow. She's not sure how. She knows all the tables are stacked against her. Another theme that comes out a bit is love and or fidelity or friendship, commitment to other people, willingness to sacrifice on their behalf or to fight for them and not against them. So there's kind of a bond that the main character forms with a couple of the other people that she's supposed to be fighting against, and they kind of work to survive. There's a question of one of the characters has sort of a romantic interest in her, and she can never quite figure out what his position is, and yet she seems to learn to love him at the end. And that's kind of left hanging because I think there's more books, obviously, and I think they left it open for more movies. So all of those things are really pretty again, tantalizing ideas. Ultimately, I thought the movie left them unfinished or unfulfilled, and I'm not quite sure why that was, but it's certainly entertaining, no doubt.
So do you think some of these movies that we've seen that are intentionally part of an ongoing series, they're based on books like this, especially the initial movies, do suffer from the fact that they they've got another movie to make. They can't tell the whole story, and they can't really finish the story if they want the three movies or however many movies they're going to make to hang together as one long story.
Yes, some of them do. I mean, if to go back to the Bourne movies again, they really tended to stand on their own. I think maybe more of it is the fact that there is, for these books that are highly popular, it's a very much a niche market. And so you're making this movie, and you have to keep the fans, no matter what. The last thing you can do is alienate the people who are going to be going to see the movie. And so you in some ways, have to play to them. And then anyone who's on the outside of that group who hasn't read the books is an outsider to the movie and is left trying to find a way inside. It's very tough to walk a middle ground between that. I think this is where something like the remake of the Star Trek movies, the first new throwback or whatever you want to call it, a reboot of the Star Trek movies, really succeeded. It wasn't doing a book to a movie, but it was doing an old series, an old idea to a new movie. They managed to give a new viewer an in to the film and yet kept a lot of what made the old Trekkiness cool. Of course, at the same time, they did alienate, at least from what I've been able to pick up, quite a few old Star Trek fans who felt it gave up too much and really changed too many things. So you can't please everybody. But yeah, does a movie that has another movie coming have to eventually give something up? Yeah, it does, and that's just part of being a trilogy.
Pastor Jonathan Fisk, thank you very much for being our guest.
Yeah, it was a blast.
When we come back, we're going to be talking about the meaning of the music at church. Not the words, the music. Pastor Burnell Eckert will be our guest.
Pastor Todd, I downloaded your Issues Etc. app for my Android phone, and I listen to it while I'm on the treadmill.
You can listen to Issues Etc. live or on demand with the new Issues Etc. Android or iPhone app. You can download these apps at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. in the palm of your hand. Download an app today.
My new Adam really enjoys the app while I'm on the treadmill.
It's here. It's here. It's finally here. Lutheran Catechesis Catechist Edition. A comprehensive guide to catechesis for a Lutheran congregation, including expanded helps on the catechism, a section of catechesis on the table of duties, Christian vocation, and learn-by-heart schedules for the congregation at prayer. Order yours today from the Concordia Catechetical Academy at peacesussex.org.
Is Christianity merely one limited half-true perspective on God? Find out in an article I've written for the latest Issues Etc. journal. It's titled, The Blind Men and the Elephant, and we'll send it to you for free. Just send an email to journal@issuesetc.org. You can also read about Pastor Christian Teve's journey from the agnosticism of a committed Darwinist to faith in Jesus Christ. The online Issues Etc. journal, journal@issuesetc.org.
Have you heard of the CLCC? In Hosea 4, we see, my people are destroyed by lack of knowledge. The Confessional Lutherans for Christ's Commission can help educate Lutherans on being Lutheran. We treasure our Lutheran beliefs and think that all Lutherans would if they learn what we believe, teach, and confess. So visit our website, www.theclcc.org. Check out what we have to offer. Get on our mailing list, or better yet, join us. And maybe encourage your pastor to hold a seminar in your area. Just go to theclcc.org.
Old theology, new technology. You're listening to Issues Etc.
This is a special Life Issues update. Obamacare before the Supreme Court with Brad Mattis.
Day two of Supreme Court oral arguments on Obamacare revealed more than the first one. They dealt with a mandate, forcing Americans to buy health insurance or be fined. Key to this is Justice Kennedy, often called the swing vote. Those who support Obamacare may have a case of heartburn today. It appears the court is pretty evenly split for and against the mandate, which makes Kennedy even more important. He used words like unprecedented to describe the mandate. And then Kennedy asked the Solicitor General advocating Obamacare, "Do you not have a heavy burden of justification?" Chief Justice Roberts seemed concerned with giving government unbridled power. Alito didn't sound sold either. "I'm prayerfully optimistic this mandate may not survive. Stay close, I'll keep you posted."
Check out Life Issues on Facebook and stay more informed than you've ever been.
Christological.
My friends, Jesus comes only for sinners.
Historical.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by...
Sacramental.
Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sins.
To find a Christological, historical, and sacramental church near you, go to issuesetc.org and click Find a Church.